Around the home with Mita Kimes, Pablo Torre, and Sarah Spain. Wellness check on Sarah Spain. How are we doing? The last dance is finally over. You look great. You didn't do something like insane, like, you know, organize all your books by color. All right, let's go. Last dance, the first word. Start here, Sarah. If everybody was just given a one-year deal to run it back, like MJ wanted, would they have won seven? Was basketball robbed in seeing this dynasty out?
Well, I think this team feels like an inevitability, but no team ever is. And the fact that it was a shortened season in 99 adds to my belief that with 7 months off, they would be able to come together, power through a short schedule, use all of the things that they had learned in previous titles, and come out on top again. It's not guaranteed, though, and I think that what if will be frustrating for Michael and for Bulls fans and for anybody who wanted to see more of this dynasty, but it isn't as simple as maybe I thought it was in the earlier episodes after seeing how things went down in the stretch, and also reading some of what Jerry Krause, his unpublished memoir, said about health issues and about the fears of these aging players. I think they deserved it. I think they probably would have done it, but it's not inevitability.
Pablo Torre?
Well, were we robbed, though? If that's the question, absolutely not. Because, Tony, did we like this documentary? Did we like The Last Dance? Did we like the footage we saw from that season? Because this was hinging on this being the end. You know, obviously, Jordan comes back years later and ruins his own ending, but did we have to ruin both of the endings Jordan gave us? We got a really good poetic moment at the end there, obviously. Byron Russell, all of that. But man, to go back and run it back risks ruining the good that we did get.
Mita Kimes?
So hard to go out on top, but I think they would have been able to do it again. Now, my belief rests on the hypothetical that Michael Jordan doesn't go on vacation and cut his finger in the Bahamas. He said he would have missed a few months. But if we're going to live in that timeline of the multiverse, I think they could have done it. I think Rodman and Pippen wouldn't have declined as much if they had stayed in Chicago. They would have gotten more production out of Kukoc. And perhaps most importantly, it would have been a weaker landscape. Kevin Pelton had an excellent piece last week where he pointed out that the Pacers, who presented such a problem in 1998, their points, they beat teams by more than 6 points per game that season. It declined to 3.7. So I think it would have been easier.
Wow, I was not expecting a statistical breakdown, but thank you very much, Mita Kimes. Let me ask this question. There was a conversation before this documentary. I mean, whether Jordan said it or whether it was just expanded upon by other people, that we wouldn't like Jordan at the end of this, that he wouldn't come off looking good. I can't go to Sarah first on this. Pablo Torre, how do you view Jordan after all this?
Well, Jordan is who we thought he was, and my issue is that the rest of us are seeing him now as this model for leadership. The analogy that maybe is most fitting to Michael Jordan here is Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is a genius. He was one of the greatest to ever do it, so to speak. But the way he treats people, the way he bullies people, the way he allegedly leads people, that's something you get away with because you're that great. It's not the reason you were great, and it's very dangerous for the rest of us to see that and be like, this is how I should lead others, which would be crazy.
Mina, did your view of Jordan have some sort of evolution as this documentary went on?
I agree that he is who we thought he was. I thought that the best model of his leadership actually came at the end with Rodman, how gentle he was with him.
That's one guy in the entire world that he was gentle with appears to be Dennis Rodman. You're right about that, yeah.
And I think had the most impact in maintaining sort of the delicate ecosystem of the team, not him being hard on like Scott Burrell. But Pablo's right. All of the personality stuff, to me, my big takeaway was it's so secondary to his talent. That's why he was great. That's why he had the dynasty, because of his talent.
And Sarah, I turn to you now. Any evolution in how you view Jordan? Did you have any consternation that you weren't going to like him at the end of this? I don't think you did.
No, but I, you know, the stuff with Gary Payton frustrated me. I think he could have given a little sometimes. Yeah, defensive player of the year, he was tough, but I was okay. I could handle him. I didn't like that stubbornness sometimes and not giving credit to others, but I think to Pablo's point, you can point to how much success they had and say it was because of his leadership. Or you can point to how much success they had and say they would have done it without it. Either way, we don't know that for sure. The fact that they won six tells us that they did many things right. And to Mina's point, a lot of it was talent-based. But we can't go back and rerun it without the way that Jordan did things and know for sure that they win as many. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's worth noting that for him, and for the people around him, in many ways, that seemed to work.
Yeah, I think we were all so ready for a Jordan documentary. But then, as it was playing out, we realized this was about everybody. But who, outside of Jordan, of course, but who was most scorched by this documentary? Was it possibly Pippen? Was it Krause? Was it Utah pizza delivery guys? Mita Kimes, you want to weigh in there?
Yeah, it's Krause, but I'm going to go with the pizza guys, right? It was presented as this grand conspiracy that five of them showed up. Of course they showed up. Somebody found out Michael Jordan was there. They just wanted to get a glimpse of him. It wasn't evidence that they had tainted the pizza. I don't buy the pizza story anyways, yeah. By the way.
Pablo?
Yeah, I want to stand up for Jerry Krause here, but it's the pizza guys as well, because this felt like the alibi you give your parents when they show up and you've broken a vase. It's like, oh, we weren't drinking, we weren't doing anything, it was just bad pizza. Was it really, though?
So you're not convinced, you didn't get an answer to that as well as you wanted. I love the way I would stand up for Krause, his entire reputation is torn asunder in this documentary. But you know what, let me focus on pizza. That's so vintage pop. Sarah, can you address the Krause of it, maybe even the Pippen of it?
Yeah, I think Krause obviously took a lot of hits here, but was also celebrated in many ways, even by the people who criticized him most. Scotty saying he was, you know, the best GM ever. I think Jerry Reinsdorf, a lot of reasons to question his leadership. He's the owner. It's his money. It's his decisions. And he's the one who empowered Krause in ways that are affecting this dynasty to this day.
Yeah.
I think Pip, I've heard, you know, people have heard from sources, has been disappointed in how this has aired. And there are certainly moments that he'd like to take back. But also there are things that he said now that make you question sort of what he's thinking.
For me, the biggest takeaway, I think, is that MJ refers to himself as MJ, the second syllable emphasis over there. MJ, I didn't see that one coming at all. A few words or less, three or four words. Does this put to end the GOAT debate? Or is there a little window, Pablo Torre?
It's not the end. A couple words. LeBron's not retired yet. Like, there's still a story for him to write.
Mita Kimes?
If he were to retire today, yes. But as Pablo pointed out, he's still got basketball.
Okay. Sarah Spain, how about you?
It's impossible to compare across generations.
Oh, come on. I thought you were going to give me six championships, 6-0. It's the only argument that you need, Sarah. All right, we'll put a bookmark in this right now. Coming up, buy or sell. Oh, one more thing I want to say. People are looking for the next 10-part documentary. LeBron, Tiger, I think those would be great, of course. I think what you need, though, is heroes and villains, and you need stories where you're not sure you know the truth. I nominate Vince McMahon and the WWE's history.
Ooh.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to the only Around the Horn you're going to be getting this year. Baseball's restart proposal discouraging throwing the ball around the horn after outs. As well as high fives, fist bumps, hugs, spitting, sunflower seeds. That's all ruled out. And fielders are being encouraged to retreat several steps away from base runners during the game between pitches. 67 pages worth of safety guidelines, Pablo. Do you buy or sell it?
I buy the ambition because extraordinary, insane times call for extraordinary, perhaps insane measures. But what is so crazy to me about all of this is that it still comes down to whether baseball players themselves will cooperate. Because Major League Baseball, Tony, does not want to punish them. They don't want to regulate this like a police state. So will they make life easier on baseball so we can get these games back before an interruption ends everything?
Mita Kimes, no spitting, no sunflower seeds, no getting near a runner who's on the base pads in the middle of a game?
It's that last one that I think really
won't
happen. And that's why I'm buying it, right? Everybody knows some of these rules won't actually be enforced. This is a starting point. And it shows that baseball is taking the health side of this very seriously, which I think the players appreciate.
Sarah Spain, buy or sell?
Yeah, I'm buying that it's necessary. I'm also buying that it's incredibly overwhelming. And just the idea of getting these guys who've spent thousands of hours of practice and play to change their natural behaviors and their, you know, memorized kind of actions within the construct of a game is going to be really difficult.
I mean, remember when the guidelines first came out for us and they told us we couldn't touch the base? And it was just, I can't do it right now. I mean, so imagine telling a pitcher you can't go to the mound when it's freezing cold. And not being able to get near a runner who's leading off first base? How do you even do a pickoff? How do you, that's asking a lot. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. It appears There is some dissenting voices here to the NFL's incentive plan for hiring African-American coaches and general managers. Sam Acho, veteran linebacker, he's on the NFLPA Executive Committee. Quote, the problem is, it can't be about incentives. It's got to be about giving the right coaches the right opportunities. Mina, when you hear that, and when you just consider the idea of moving up in the draft because you hired a coach or a GM, how do you take it all in?
I'm selling the proposal, but I'm glad it was brought up because it exposes the scope of this problem, right? The fact that the NFL believes teams have to be bribed to improve diversity is an incredibly damning indictment of those decision makers, and they aren't wrong, but it would be deeply unfair to candidates who are deserving and should not have that hanging over their heads when they get those jobs. Now, I don't know if there's a perfect solution for this. We can't just fix biases and networks, but I agree with Sam Acho when he says they need to focus on expanding opportunities, and there is still work that can be done on that side. I suggest the NFL focuses there.
Did you see this all as running it up the flagpole to see what could stick and what could go the other way? Because everyone acknowledges there's a problem in the NFL, but this was not maybe the way to go about it.
Yeah, in some ways, it's not so dissimilar from what we just discussed with baseball. They're going extreme. This is a trial balloon, but they do, I think, have a sense of how serious the issue is.
Sarah Spain, for it to affect the draft, where do you come down on that?
Yeah, I agree with Mina. Unfortunately, even if there are deserving candidates, if this is tagged on to their hiring, it will constantly perhaps be used against them or even negatively affect their ability to do the job with those around them. I also agree that they've tried the Rooney Rule. They've tried these like sort of incentives now, or at least floated the idea, and it's not going to fix the underlying issue, which is a much bigger problem than, you know, wanting to get your draft picks improved. So I think the pipeline has to change, and the ideas about who you hire and whether you're comfortable with them has to change. That's a big issue.
And Pablo Torre?
What this attempt at legislation gets right, though, is that self-interest is at the core of all of this. I don't agree with how they go about that, but this won't get solved until GMs and owners realize that the reason they should hire minority candidates is because they're actually qualified and good at the jobs. At this point, Tony, there's like a market inefficiency. The numbers are so skewed where it's like a Moneyball thing. You should try to get these guys because they're being undervalued at this point, and it'll help you.
Ooh, that horn came in. Those points came in for Pablo Torre right at the horn. Just what he needed to advance the showdown. Sarah Spain, that means you're giving us a smile and a wave, but don't go too far. You might be interested in this story and showdown. Pablo and Mina Kimes, I can't believe it. We're all going to get fired, I think. The Korean sex doll in the Korean soccer league. Yeah, I immediately regret this decision. Next, we're getting fired. You guys know me. I love apologies. But I apologize that we're even doing this story. Korean soccer apologizing for using sex dolls, alleged sex dolls, as their empty stadium fans. Pablo Torre, do you think they're really sorry?
And they shouldn't be sorry, Tony, if they're not, because these sex dolls were not living up to their name in the stands. They were just being dolls. Why can't they have their own lives? It's a Westworld issue.
In lieu of an answer, I'm just going to cross my arms and shake my head in silence.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, none of us got fired. I think that's a plus. I'm going to give Pablo Torre the point for answering the question at the very least. But again, we're all gainfully employed. Let's move on. Showdown 2, Bundesliga is back. NASCAR is back. Golf is back-ish with their skins game. Mina? How did the grand reopenings land for you?
It is wonderful to have sports back, but for me, it's about Ricky Fowler, Tony. Not because of the charity that he raised money for, but because of the mustache. He is an inspiration. That dude's stash, for a part Asian, is strong.
Oh, no. I gotta give a tip of the hat to NASCAR. Apparently had the most viewers since 2017 for a non-Daytona race. More than 6 million people watched, and Tony, one of them was me. First time ever.
All right, okay, so tell us a little bit about the race. What did you like about it? I love hearing it with new eyes.
I learned about the Darlington track from Ryan McGee, who came on ESPN Daily, give it a listen, explain the history behind it and how difficult it was, so I was intrigued by that. congratulations also.
Wait, you just cited your own podcast for what you found out about a race that you were just watching this week? No. Pablo Torre.
No, that was last week. He enticed me.
Take the 30 seconds of FaceTime, Pablo.
Thank you. I like, by the way, how all those race car drivers went left. That was shocking to me. I want to give a shout out to one Kai Soto. And you may not know his name yet, but you will once you see him. He is 7'2" and he's Filipino. And that's why we're here today. If you had asked me, what's more likely, a 7'2" Filipino in general or a future number one overall pick who is Filipino in the NBA? I would have had a hard time choosing. The good news is that we now have both. Jalen Green and Kai Soto on the same team in the G League, Tony. Everything is coming up, Pablo.
Everything is coming up, Pablo. All right. 23-hour and 40-minute break, Sports Center. Right now. Get it. One time. Come on. Oh!